Okay, good morning. Good night of Shabbos. The initial Pesukim in Parshas Vayakel tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu gathers the Jewish people. Vayakel Moshe is called Das Bnei Yisrael, Vayomar Aleihem, Eila Advaram Asher Tzivu Hashem Lasos Zam. He's going to gather them together. He's going to command them on something. What does he command them on? So, Shesh Yom Te'ase Melachu, Vayom Ashvi, Yelachem Kodesh, Shabbos, Shabbason Lashem, Kolosevo Melacha, Yumas. So the thing upon which he commands the Klal Yisrael, this juncture, is the mitzvah of Shabbos. Yet again, we have it so many times over the course of these parshios and in general in the Torah that there's a command of Shabbos. Lo sivaru eish b'chol moshe seichem b'yom ha-Shabbos. So we're not really going to talk about the connection between the Mishkan and the Shabbos, although I think last year in the Sfas Shirim we certainly did. This year I don't believe we did in terms of Maral. He does have on that. But this pasuk is one of the prime examples where the Torah is about to engage in more discussion about the Mishkan, and yet we're sticking in Shabbos over here. But we're going to leave that as an aside for now. But here the Pesukim tell us there's a mitzvah of Shabbos. Shabbos is Sheshes Yom Te'asa Melacha, that Melacha should be done all 6 days of the week. On the seventh day we should rest. And the Torah then singles out, that you shouldn't light a fire, you shouldn't kindle a flame throughout the day of Shabbos in your home. Now, the Gemara picks up, and Rashi quotes it over here, on the fact that it's very strange. There are 39 malachos on Shabbos, and none of them are really listed by the Torah. The Torah hints the fact that there's malachas asar on Shabbos, doesn't tell us exactly what they are. Chazal, in the Torah Shebal Peh, explained to us what the Torah meant when it said malachas asar, but it's not explicated in the Pesukim. The only example, the only exception to that rule, is this pasuk over here, Lo sivaru eish b'kol malachos seichem, that the Isser of Havara, of lighting a flame, of a kindling a fire on Shabbos, that's listed in the Torah explicitly. So why is it singled out? Why is this the exception to the rule, the only one which is said in the Pesukim, spelled out explicitly? So if you look in the Rashi over here in the indent, Lo Sivaru Eish, Rashi quotes the Gemara says there's a machlokas about this. Everyone notices that it's singled out, but the machlokas is what to do with that. What's the limud? What do we learn from the fact that it's singled out? So says Rashi, Yesh me rabosenu omrim, some of the opinions say, Lilav yatsas, that whereas all of the other 38 malachos are all Isser skila, Isser kares, right? They're all the death penalty. They're all the serious types of Isurim, the most serious types of Isurim. Havara is Lilav yatsas. Havara is singled out, is separate, is distinct, in the fact that it's not to be killed over, but rather it's lelav yatsas. It's a regular lav. It's one of the regular Yisurei Torah, which gets malchus, gets lashes, but it's not like the other malachos in the Torah. That's one possibility the Gemara raises. The other is v'yesh omrim lichalik yatsas. A very interesting havamina. I don't believe that we're going to talk about this, although the Maharal does absolutely have on this. He has a long piece here in Gurariyeh. He talks about this as well, but we're not going to get to it. But lichalik yatsas means that we would have had a havamina. Our initial thought would have been, this is so strange, but our initial thought would have been that if there are 39 things that a person can't do on Shabbos, unless you do all 39 of them, you're good. You didn't violate Shabbos. You'd have to be a pretty big lamdan to be Mechal Shabbos. Unless you do all 39 malachos, and that includes, Oreg Shnei Batenir, and the ones that we don't even understand what they are, with the looms and the woofs and the warps and all those things. So you'd get off scot-free. You wouldn't have violated Shabbos. Only if you did all lamedes malachos would you violate Shabbos. Comes the Torah and says, no. Havara lechali gatsas, meaning the Torah says, don't light a fire, meaning each malacha should be looked at separately. It gives you one example of havara, of lighting a fire, and that teaches you that every one of the 39 malachas should be judged independently, and any one which you violate will be something which incurs the death penalty. So those are two opinions. Certainly, havara is singled out, lighting a fire is singled out. Why? Either to tell us that it's different, it's unique, in the sense that it's only a lav, only in quotations, or it's to tell you that all of the malachas mimic it in the sense they're all independent, and you're chayiv skila, karis, for each and every one, on its own. Okay, that's the Rashi that we're learning over here. It's the Maharal here. He has a lot to say in this Rashi. But the one that we're focusing on, he points out a question. He doesn't say it in this way. We're going to say it outside first, that we understand the question. His basic question is very nice to learn that it's, I don't know, lilav yatsas, that it's a lav. Very nice to learn that every malacha stands on its own independently. Those are very nice things to learn. Why was it this malacha which was singled out for that? Meaning, if it's lelav yatsas, what's unique about havara, that it's a lower grade, that it's only malchus, that it's not killed for, if you do that malacha, what's unique about the malacha of lighting candles? Or, what stands out about this malacha, that it's the one that teaches us the lesson about the rest of the malachas? Meaning, why not say, borer, lechalik yatsas? Why not tell us, you know, libun, lechalik yatsas? Why is it specifically havara, lighting a candle, which separates all the malachos and makes them not into one unit, but into distinct units? Makes sense, the question? That's what the Maharal is dealing with. The truth is, I saw a very creative answer last night. There's a sefer called Dvar Yehuda. It's not a famous sefer. It's actually just sort of printed personally by Shmuley Newman, who sometimes comes to the shir. So it's from his grandfather. His grandfather gave a lot of drushes. He was a Talmud Chacham. He lived in Switzerland for some time. So he had notes over the course of the years of his drushes and his Devar Torah. So the uncle of Shmuley put out this sefer, Dvar Yehuda, of Rabbi Yehuda Shachat's Devar Torah on the Parsha. Very, very, very interesting, very creative, very sharp insights usually. So we saw last night in there that he asked this question, why Havar Lelavias? Why Havar Lechalikas? Why is kindling a flame stand out from all the other malachos? This is something very fascinating. Because we think about Shabbos, the way we keep Shabbos is that we say, Sheshes Yamim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Ki Sheshes Yam Asa Hashem Es HaShemayim Es HaAretz, V'yom HaShvi'i Shabbos Vayinafash, right? We keep Shabbos because Hashem did create for 6 days and rested on the seventh day, right? It's always the distinction, the separation between the weekdays and Shabbos Kodesh. And in fact, we keep Shabbos Zecher L'maisa Bereishis. Our keeping of Shabbos, we have to discuss another time, why it's Zecher L'maisa Bereishis, not Zecher L'shvisa Bereishis. We keep Shabbos, we rest on Shabbos to remember Hashem's creation of the world? No, we rest on Shabbos to remember Hashem's resting from creating the world. So that's a topic for another time. But we certainly do keep it Zecher L'maisa Bereishis. So Rav Shachat pointed out very, very brilliantly that, you know, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do during the 6 days of creation? He created the whole world. The Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Nun Dalet tells that there were some things that were created right before Shabbos, mamish during Banish Mashos, like when we're like turning off all the lights and making sure we did all the things for Shabbos and remembering we forgot something and trying to find the neighbor who didn't take in Shabbos yet. At that point, Hashem created a whole bunch of things last minute as well. So in that context, the Gemara discusses the creation of fire. And it's actually an interesting kind of complex back and forth, but ultimately the Gemara lands on the following. The Gemara says that fire was actually, you have to think of this all as a so to speak, as a kiviyachol. So to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ola b'machshava. HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought he intended to create fire already on Friday, on the sixth day of creation. However, he didn't create fire until Matzei Shabbos. Think about our halacha that we make Havdalah lunch on Matzei Shabbos and we use a candle. One of the reasons we do that is because we are noting that was the day of that was the moment of creation of fire. It was on Matzei Shabbos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended to create fire already from Erev Shabbos, Kiviyachol, and he created fire on Matzei Shabbos. It's actually very interesting because the Gemara there implies that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't actually create the fire. He thought to create fire, waited until Matzei Shabbos, and then Adam Arishon put together, you know, what's the two stones that you use? Flintstones, that's how they got the name, Flintstones. So he used the Flintstones and made a fire himself. It's actually interesting. But what the Dvar Yehuda, the Sefer Dvar Yehuda points out, so what stands out over here? All of the Melachas of Kadosh Baruch Hu, all the creations of Kadosh Baruch Hu took place during the 6 days of Maisa Bereishis. And Shabbos is a commemoration of Maisa Bereishis, so we rest from every Melacha and every creative act from all the 6 days of creation. Creating a fire was not during the 6 days of creation. Creating a fire was something which was intended during the 6 days of creation, but it was lower level. It wasn't actually put into action. It wasn't actually created during a Friday, during any of the 6 days of creation. Rather, it wasn't until Matzei Shabbos. So Havara, Lilav Yatzas or Lechalik Yatzas, whichever one it is, it stands out. It's different. Lighting a fire is different because it's not one of those initial 6 days of creation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into being. Very fascinating insight. I'm sorry? That's so it's part of why we do it. Lich benching, no, definitely not. Yeah, right. I thought you meant the fingernails. That's something, that's part of the minhag that we do. But no, he didn't have that. Right. And the first thing afterwards, right. It's like a sandwich. Right. Very interesting. Yeah. Okay. So either way, that's not the Maharal's answer. That's the Dvar Yehuda's answer. The Maharal has a different answer over here. If you look in the first Gur Aryeh, in the bold V'im Tomar, he asks this question of Haryeh Ein Svar Lidrash L'Lav Babad. What's the logic? Why are we saying that lighting candles less so than either malacha? It seems the same. V'yesh L'Faryeh, she says, Dein Havara Malacha Gemura. The truth is, Havara, it is a little bit lower level. It is a little bit different than all the other malachos. Why? Sha Malacha Azosi Domele Pu'ula Tivis. It's more of a natural act. It's more of a natural malach. It's more of a natural occurrence. How often do we see that things just combust? Things just heat up. Things just get hot. Things sometimes catch fire without anyone doing any particular action. Meaning, the lighting of a fire is certainly a malacha. There's no question about it, but it's different than all the malachas. Things don't cook themselves. Things don't clean themselves. Things don't, I don't know, whatever other malachas, don't select themselves, right? You have to do all those actions. Most of the time, you also make a fire. Obviously, that's true. Most of the time, you light the match, you turn on the stove, you rub the flintstones together. All that is true. But sometimes fire just happens. Sometimes things combust. Sometimes things get hot on their own. And so in that sense, Havara is a little bit different. It's a little bit lighter of a, no pun intended, of a malacha than all of the other malachas, because it's sort of more a natural occurrence. It's sort of more more casual the way it happens, more automatic and more organic within the creation. So says the Maharal, there's a reason to think that's a little bit less severe, a little bit less serious than all other malachos, because malachos in general involve, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, a creative act. And this is not as creative, not as intensive on the part of the Ben Adam. Hu davar memutza, it's like a middle ground, v'hu bilav bilvad. It's not mutter, it's usser. But maybe it's only bilav. Maybe it's a lesser isser because it's not as big of an action on the part of the person who's doing it. V'chein, he says in the second bold over here, l'man damar shiyatza l'chalik. So too for the person who says it comes to teach you that there's a differentiation between each of the malachos. Each one's unique, each one's independent. L'kach kasav lo sivar l'chalik. Why was it dafka, this malach that was chosen to separate all of them, v'lo malach acheres? He says, because this malacha is unique, it stands out. That's what the Torah is teaching us, that this malacha stands out, it's unique, it's different. It's the most similar to teva. It's the most similar to nature, so it's the most unique of all the malachos. So this was the one that was chosen to teach us the message, either of itself or the message of all the other malachos. Now, within this Maharal, which is a very interesting, I think, creative Maharal, so you see a little bit of hint towards what the definition of malacha is. Now, it would take years to try to uncover the depth of what the word malacha means and what the implications are halacha lamaisa. But just to understand, you know, one aspect of it, if you look in the next source, the Maharal in his comment, we'll come back to this, we neder mitzvah Hashem, in his comments on the Gemara and Shabbos and Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, the Maharal starts with an idea, this is the part that I hope to return to, that Shabbos is kadosh, it's holy in and of itself, and therefore we have to abstain from anything chomri, anything physical. She, in the second bold, kol malacha, Hotsa'a lepoel, v'kol hotsa'a lepoel, hu shayich legeshem asher yotze lepoel. So it's a quick line, but what the Maharal basically says over here is that what malacha means, what the definition of malacha is that something is brought into creation, something is created, something is actively, productively made in this world. Something which just occurs, something which just happens, something which just exists is not a malacha. Now, you and I perceive making fire as a malacha because we do make it, we do create it. But what the Maharal is pointing out is that fire does also exist in the other way. Fire also exists in the sense that it just comes into being, it just comes to exist. Something which just comes to exist is not a poel, it's not an action, it's just a thing that exists, it just happens to be. What's asar on Shabbos is to make something, is to do something, is to create something, do something that's a malachas machshev, that's productive, and that's creative. The act of creating a fire can be done in a creative way, but it can also be done in a very passive way. And because of that, it stands out and it's different, and that's related to the definition of malacha according to the Maharal. You see it a little bit, I don't know if it's an exact sushtel, but I think it's related in the next source as well, in the Sefer Tiferes Yisrael. The Maharal here says that we know that he quotes this in a few places in Tiferes Yisrael, I just gave you one example. But it occurs earlier, I think, in Perek Lamed Vav as well, this idea that Shabbos is a moment in time where we're supposed to remember and commemorate and strengthen our emunah, our faith, and our understanding of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world on his own, and it wasn't some mikra, it wasn't some coincidence, it didn't happen on its own. That the world didn't just come into existence. This is a philosophy that they were debating back then, and we still debate now, right? I mean, even if you believe in the Big Bang Theory, I think there are different levels of it. There's a first cause, not a first cause. There's like different ways of putting it together. But it's a philosophy that we debate until, we don't debate, we know the truth. But I'm saying we're combating until this moment. So what we're trying to do on Shabbos, we're trying to say, no, it's obvious. We're trying to commemorate and show and display that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actively himself created the world, that it didn't just happen. And in that context, the Maharal says, that's what we're doing on Shabbos when we refrain from malacha. We're refraining from actions that we do on our own. So much so that actions which happen on their own unintentionally are not asar on Shabbos. Example, davrshin miskavein. If I'm dragging a heavy bench, and the ground is firm, and there's no reason to believe necessarily it'll make a ditch in the ground, but it happens to furrow a ditch in the ground, so I'm not liable. Davrshin miskavein, I didn't intend it. What do you mean? I pulled a bench and a ditch happened. Yeah, but it happened. You didn't do it. If you don't intend something, if something's not active, if something's not productive, then you didn't do it. You didn't actually do it. So says the Maharal, that's symbolic of what we're trying to commemorate on Shabbos as well. We're saying that the world didn't just come into existence. The world came into existence through malacha, through Sheshes Yam of Malacha, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing Malachas Machsheves, an intentional, productive labor, that, so to speak, that created the world actively. Fire is the example that we're using in Gur Aryeh, is something which can just exist, it can just come into being, but anything else is something which is a bona fide Malacha. That's what we're trying to commemorate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing during the Sheshes Yam of Bereishis, and that's what we're trying to not do, that's what we're trying to abstain from on Shabbos. So these three sources of the Maharal, I think, tie together. You have to work on a little more, but I think they do tie together in the definition of the Malacha. The Malacha is something which is active, which is on the part of the person, which is intentional, which is creative, and anything short of that isn't what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to create the world, because we're trying, that's goof of what we're trying to commemorate, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actively created the world intentionally, that it didn't just come into being, and the Malacha with, from which we need to refrain is the action which is intentional, which is productive, which is creative, and therefore, although, of course, lighting a fire is one of the Malachos, it's something which is a little bit unique in the sense that it's not as active, as creative, as intensive as the other Malachos. That's the lesson that Maharal is teaching us, I think, a very sharp point. If you look at source number two, maybe just very briefly, the the psukim that we read above tell us, Sheshes Yam Te'asa Malacha V'yam HaShvi'i Yeh Lachem Kodesh, that the seventh day will be holy for you. So we tend to think, I mean, sometimes we think about it as Shabbos is something which we refrain from Malacha, and therefore it has a level of Kedusha. What you see a little bit in the Pasuk over here, it's not like you have to be Medayikit, but it does seem to be true, is that the idea of Shabbos is, no, Shabbos is inherently Kadosh. Shabbos is a metzias. It's a reality. It exists in the real plane of time and space. It is holiness in our world. We respond to that holiness by refraining from Malacha, by dressing up nicely, by learning Torah, by learning the Torah, by doing all of these things, having the meals. We do all these things that are a response to Kedusha, but Shabbos is Kodesh Lachem. It exists in this world as Kedusha in and of itself. Now, the Maharal says something in our Parsha that links to that. What I just quoted to you is from the was related to the Maharal in the second source, and within source number two, the second from the bottom, from Parshas Bereishis, where the Maharal says explicitly that this Kedusha exists inherently, objectively, within Shabbos. But look at the Maharal in our Parsha, V'li Nira. So he wonders, you know, our first Pasuk tells us, Vayakel Moshe brings together the Jewish people and tells them about Shabbos. What's the connection between this and the Mishkan? So Rashi tells us that we learn over here that even though you have to build a Mishkan, that's a mitzvah, you can't build a Mishkan on Shabbos, right? Building the Mishkan is not Da'icha Shabbos. So the Maharal says, what's the Havamina? Why would you have thought that building the Mishkan is Docheh Shabbos? And you have to go to Shul on Shabbos. We never had a Havmina that you could drive to Shul on Shabbos. We, the people in this room, never had a Havmina that you can drive to Shul on Shabbos. There's such a thing as such a Havmina, but it's not a, it's a Kurim Havmina. So what does it mean? Why would you be able to build a Mishkan on Shabbos? Where does such a Havmina come from? So Maharal says something brilliant here. V'li nira da hava amina lo asr Torah el malacha shel adam. You would have thought that the Torah was saying, you can't do your work. You can't do your physical labor on Shabbos. Dechsev sheish yam teasa malachtecha. Or tasa malachtecha in that context. Your malacha has to be done during only the 6 days. Umashma maleches shamayim have shari. Maybe malacha, which is holy, holy work, a labor of Kedusha, would be allowed on Shabbos. Lekach tzarech kra. We need a pasuk to tell us that that's not the case. Well, okay, but why would you have such a havmina? Why would you think that? So the Maharal, I didn't put on the sheet, but I put part of it in source number one in the middle, in the Maharal's comments on the Gemara and Shabbos. I just printed the two paragraphs here, and I didn't give it out. But the Maharal has a comment there. The Gemara is talking about the fact that we have to be mechabed Shabbos. We have to show kavod. We have to show honor to Shabbos by dressing up nicely. And in that context, he tries to explain that we always show kavod to something which is less physical. The less physical something is, the more kavod, the more honor it receives. That's, we have to get into the depths of that at some point, but that's just true. Example, v'hadarta p'nei zakin. We've spoken about it so many times already, that a zakin, someone who gets older, we said kol shemazkinim, the Gemara tells us, as a person gets older, they get more chachma, and the Maharal explained to us, they get more kedusha as they get older. Why? Because as they get older, they're less physical. The body starts to decay, they start to move out of the physical world and into the spiritual realm. So a person has a potential to become much more holy as they get older, right? We've spoken about that many times in the past, I think, in the Maharal. So he says, that's why we have a pasuk in the Torah that tells us you have to show kavod to a zakin. Someone who's elderly has to be shown honor, has to be shown respect. Why? Because they are more spiritual. They are less physical and more spiritual. So he says the best example of that is Shabbos. Shabbos is completely kadosh. It's completely nivdal min achomrius. It's completely separate and distinct. It's divorced from anything physical. And therefore, we have to mechabed Shabbos. We have to show kavod by dressing up nicely. In that writing, the Maharal then says that the idea of refraining from malacha then is not that you have to take a nap. It's not that you have to sleep. It's not that you have to rest. It's not about resting. That's not the point. The point is responding to Kedusha with Kedusha, not responding to Kedusha with Gashmias, with Chomrias, exactly. So because of that, he says, we know the Pasuk in Yeshaya tells us that a person has to refrain, Mimso Chavatzecha, a person has to refrain from doing his things on Shabbos. Meaning, you can't talk business, you can't talk shop on Shabbos. It's usher to talk shop on Shabbos, Midibrei Kabbalah. You're not allowed to do that. However, Chavatzecha Asurim, but Chavtze Shamayim, the Gemara says, things which are involved in Melechus Shamayim, in Mitzvos, in Kedusha, that's allowed to be discussed on Shabbos. We are Ramiz in the Zmiros, L'shadech HaBanos, Cheshbonos of Tztaka, things which are a Maisa Mitzvah, talking about being Mechanish or kids, even though it involves the things that are on Shabbos, Dek on Shabbos, those are things which are allowed on Shabbos. Why? You're talking about things that are not Shabbos Dek. You're not talking about Melacha, you're not talking about Divrei Torah, you're not talking about, yeah, but you're talking about Chavtze Shamayim. So what? The answer is the whole issue of Shabbos is not that you can't do anything. It's not that you have to rest. It's not that you have to be, batel and not to be productive. No, you should be productive, but you should be productive only in one realm, in the realm of Kedusha, in the realm of spirituality. So Chavtze Shamayim are permissible to talk about, to discuss, and to be involved in on that level. So to hear the Maharal is saying to us that you would have thought the same thing. You would have thought that Malacha in general, even Malacha, not just talking shop, even Malacha, you can't do that in Malachos. Okay, but if it's for Kedusha, if it's for the Mishkan, maybe you would be allowed to do it, because it's only Malacha which is Gashmius, which is physical, which is material, which is Chomrius. That's the type of thing you can't do on Shabbos. But if it's for the Mishkan, if it's to build a place for the Hashraas Hashchin in this world, of course you could do that. Answer to the Torah, no, you can't do that. You would have had a Havami that you could do it, because it's Shamayim Dik, it's Kedusha Dik, it's holy. But even spiritual Malacha on that level of the 39 Malachos can't be performed on Shabbos, says the Pasuk. So that's another idea in terms of the definition of Malacha and the definition of the role and the goal of Malacha on Shabbos within the Maharal over here. Source number 3, it starts at the bottom of the page, but really have to turn over. So the Pasuk tells us that the Nashim and the Anashim, the men and the women, both came to donate things. And one of the things they donated was the Chumaz. What's the Chumaz? So Rashi, if you look in the indent over here in the Rashi script, Kli Zahav Hu, it's a golden... not utensil, what's the word? A jewelry adornment, something like that. And it's nasan keneged oso makom leisha. It's placed on the most intimate of areas of a woman. Strange. A private area of the woman that is placed there. I think in some, I can't remember now, it might be Rishonim even, I'm blanking on it, but somewhere on the page over here in the Chumash, I think some people explain it like a chastity belt type of thing, meaning something which protects them from being violated, Rahman al-Tzlan. So, but either way, it's something which is placed there. V'rabosenu pirshu sham kumaz, no, shem kumaz kan makom zima. Sorry, I couldn't read that. V'rabosenu pirshu shem kumaz kan makom zima. So, Rabosenu, Chazal, understand that the word kumaz is a combination of different words. Kan makom zima, sounds like it. Kumaz, kan makom zima. This is the place of relations. This is the place of things which take place that are generally inappropriate. Not always inappropriate, generally inappropriate. That's the Rashi quotes for us over here. Kumaz is from that language. So here the Maharal says something fascinating, which seems to lead you in one direction, but I want to correct that. The Maharal here says, in the Guraria, Osir Aleph, Mivnei shehuk shelahem l'razal, the Chazal had a problem. Kumaz, what kind of lashon is that? Shein derech lashna kodesh likra shem miyuchad ledvarim shem erva. We have a word for such a thing? We have a word for such a thing? So the Maharal is saying, no, what we're learning over here from Rashi is that Chazal made up a nickname because they didn't want to call it something explicit. Meaning lashna kodesh, he says, and then he's about to list for you four or five examples of this. Basically what the Maharal says is the yesod over here, something very fundamental, which is that lashna kodesh doesn't include inappropriate language. It doesn't include dirty language. It doesn't have language which is impure. Lashna Kodesh is pure. It's pristine. It's crystal clear. It doesn't talk about things that are inappropriate. So the word kumaz can't be inappropriate. Rather, it's an abbreviation. It's an acronym. It's a way of hinting at something which is inappropriate. But no, the Torah doesn't have, and Lashna Kodesh doesn't have, a language which is inappropriate. So this is touches on an old machlokas Rambam and Ramban. The Rambam Mor Nevuchim says that the reason why Lashna Kodesh, Hebrew, is referred to as Lashna Kodesh is because it's a clean, pristine language. It doesn't have any inappropriate words. Think about... you're leaving for the good part. We're about to say all the words. So you think about the different actions, relations. The Torah doesn't have a word for relations. It has euphemisms. It has ways of beating around the bush, but it doesn't say the actual word. Tzrachim, when a person goes to the restroom, we don't have words for those things. We talk about them in euphemisms. We always talk about them in euphemisms. The reproductive organ doesn't have a word in Hebrew language. Maybe modern Hebrew it does, but modern Hebrew is not Lashna Kodesh. In the old Lashna... Okay, and yeah, in the old Lashon HaKodesh, there was no, in the original Lashon HaKodesh, there was no word for this. Eder, gid, it just means limb. It just means, you know, a part of a body. Meaning we refer to it in a euphemism, a type of a way. So I read recently, I don't know if people here are there on Shabbos, we spoke about this last week on Shabbos, but a friend of mine sent me an article from the Wall Street Journal in the opinion section a few weeks ago by an author named Joseph Epstein. People familiar? He was like, he's a world famous essayist for many years. He's a little older now. He definitely got in a lot of trouble. He's even recently, actually, politically, but he doesn't really make, whatever, either way, I don't have to defend him here. So he had an article titled, I don't remember what the title was, but it was about the concept of dysphemisms. He says, we live in a society where everyone uses euphemisms to beat around the bush. He says he wants to introduce an idea of dysphemisms, that people start talking straight about things, start saying things straight, saying things the way they are, and not beating around the bush. Dysphemisms, a great word. So, but Lashon HaKodesh doesn't have dysphemisms, it has euphemisms. It talks around Inyani Erva, Arayos, things like that. So that's the Rambam's opinion. The Ramban doesn't like that at all. The Ramban has a few arguments against this. One of them is that he thinks he's identified certain language in the Torah that is, so to speak, you know, inappropriate. But that's only one of his. He has other issues as well. So it seems like the Maharal and Gurari is taking the Rambam's side, but the truth is he's absolutely not. If you look in the next source, in Nesivas Olam, it's the Nesiv Hatznias. The Maharal there talks about the Rambam. And in that context, he explicitly takes the Rambam to task. And he says he doesn't think the Rambam totally missed the boat, but he thinks the Rambam missed an opportunity. He thinks it's obviously true what the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, that Lashon HaKodesh does not contain inappropriate language because it's so holy. But he said it the wrong way. It's not that Lashon HaKodesh is holy because it doesn't contain inappropriate language. Rather, Lashon HaKodesh does not contain inappropriate language because it's so holy. The Lashon HaKodesh is the Lashon which created the world. Hashem created the world with the Sarah Ma'amaros of Hebrew language. Lashon HaKodesh is the Lashon of the Torah. Lashon HaKodesh is the Lashon the Nevi'im are spoken to. It's the Lashon the Malachim talk about. It's inherently Kadosh. It's inherently spiritual. It's inherently sanctified and holy. And because it's so lofty and so holy, it can't contain inappropriate language. Not that it becomes holy because it's lack of language. No, it becomes holy because it's inherently holy. And then because it's so holy, it doesn't have any language that's inappropriate. Our Maharal in the Chumash is not against that. Our Maharal in the Chumash is just pointing to the end of the matter. He's saying, and we know that the maskana, the end of the discussion, is going to be that Lashon HaKodesh will not involve any inappropriate language. Why? Because it's holy. Because it's Lashon HaKodesh, like I said in the Nesiv Hatznias, and here are examples where we get euphemisms to avoid it. But that's not the cause, that's the result. The cause is the Kedusha of Lashon HaKodesh. The result is that you don't have any inappropriate language within the language of Lashon HaKodesh. Okay, so the Maharal is not against what he says in the Nesiv Hatznias. Rather, he's just talking about a different part of it in this context. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.